Welcome to Random Rambles. I'm Tasha.
And I'm Amy.
And we're here to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Floats our boat.
Yep.
Not your boat. Maybe your boat, if you're listening.
A little bit, I hope. Just, you know, like down that canal.
Like, our boats will be on the same canal.
We're already on a tangent. We haven't even started. Well, but we did say it was going to be random.
But I did just think then.
No.
I did. About, like, we're talking about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah.
So no one gets a say, really.
No. Like, not to say that they can't suggest topics, because we would take that definitely under advisement. They'll probably find more interesting stuff than we do, but yeah.
Yeah. But we're talking about just stuff that either irks us, that interests us, that
we enjoy, that we feel like should be discussed in a larger forum.
Yeah. So our boat
is floated.
And then your boats
can float along with us.
Yeah, can come along for the floaty ride.
I don't know if I should edit this out or not.
You're already thinking that? Oh, wow.
I think that every time we're
God.
You should see me when I'm doing the I've seen things, when I'm going through that one and having to do it. The amount of times where we just look at each other awkwardly like, what next? Just going to take that a bit out.
It's a bit of a Tim Allen thing.
Tim Taylor.
I mean, that is his noise. Regardless.
But yeah. Scooby-Dooby-Doo too.
But consider your boat is floated if you've tuned in now.
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow with today's topic. After we've just done that. The plan for today, for the topic, is I'm going to give a update on the Ruby Frankie 8 passengers child neglect and abuse situation, and then we were going to talk about the Coles Woolies and the supermarket inquiry that's just recently happened in Australia.
Yeah.
That's led to quite a lot of outrage.
I mean, we were already outraged.
Yeah, we were
like,
already
at a level of, do I buy soap or do I eat?
Or do I pay my bills?
Yeah. Or get petrol.
I think that it's brought it to a new level, though.
Mm.
But we'll do the 8 passengers first, just because it's a very quick update on what's happened there.
Yeah.
So the, I can't even say court case, because it didn't even get that far. They both took a guilty plea.
Yeah.
They both took a deal. And so the judge has run the sentence. Now, what I find interesting is that in Utah, it's not like a fixed sentence.
Ah.
So it's not like you've done this horrendous thing and now you're going to serve 25 years in prison, or you've done this horrendous thing that's not quite so bad, so you're going to do 10 years in prison.
Mm.
It's done all by review of the board. So the judge's sentence to both of them, they both got the same sentence,
yeah,
was 4 to 30 years.
Say that again. 4?
4 to 30 years. Because there's a cap on the sentencing in Utah, so a life sentence cannot be anything more than 30 years.
Okay. 4 doesn't seem like a lot.
4 seems like a stupidly small amount for what they've been charged
with.
Yeah. But that's the minimum.
Okay.
So 4 to 30 years.
Yeah.
And then after those 4 years, I believe it is, I think.
Okay.
Because there's no time served as far as I'm aware, then they can actually apply to the parole board and get out. It all depends on whether or not the board approves for their release or not, then how much public pressure there is. And in the deal that Ruby Frankie signed with the prosecutor's office was that they would not contest her bid for parole when she was eligible to go in for
right.
it. So long as she was willing to testify against Jody if it came to trial.
Mm.
But because they both took the plea bargain,
Yeah.
There was no trial. But the prosecutor's office has since, or I should say the court,
yeah.
has since released a lot of the evidence that made it very easy for them to push for that plea bargain and what they were, you know, if they needed to go to trial, what would have made it very bad for both Ruby and Jody. Jody being Ruby's business partner, Ruby being the mum of the kids that were abused.
Yeah.
Ruby kept a very, very detailed diary of what they were doing to those kids.
Gross.
Not just, heartbreaking. The shit they did to those kids was heartbreaking. And I honestly, I don't know how they survived to escape.
Yeah.
Because I think if they had been there for even a couple of months longer, they would have been dead.
Wow.
And they, the,
how, I don't know, how to, not in, yeah, keep going.
So, just a little bit of a background on the story, if you're only tuning into the show now or you haven't heard about this, which it's been everywhere. Eight Passengers was a family channel, Mormon family, based out of Utah. She ran the family channel as a sort of a look at our lives, look how perfect we are sort of thing. But there were a lot of problematic behaviors that people called out in regards to how she disciplined her children, and it was like people would just straight up like, mate, no, this is abuse, you need to maybe not do that, or don't you think you're being a little bit highly strung here?
Yeah.
She didn't feed them very often. Like, I still can't wrap my head around it. She very often referred to food as a privilege rather than a right. She thought that if they, her children, who did not decide to come into the world, she decided they would come into the world. She often would say that this is my home and you have no rights in it because it's my home. And when you move out, then you can make those sort of things.
It's like, I remember this, yes.
Yep. She took bedroom doors off. She took bathroom doors off. All of that sort of stuff, but the abuse escalated, and I really do consider it abuse. Other people, I'm sure, may have a different level of opinion on certain sections, but
sure.
I feel like it was definitely abuse. But with the youngest two, it escalated even further. So they ended up basically living with Ruby's business partner, and Ruby's business partner also had a hand in the abuse, I would actually say to a massive degree, because it turns out that the business partner moved in with them at their home first because she was claiming like exorcisms and ghost possessions and that the house was haunted and all of this weird shit was happening, as came out in an interview with the father of the kids later on. So I'll link down below some of the videos in the show notes so that you can go watch these sort of things, like if you want to, if you're interested in it. The father said that they moved in to his home and slowly the rules started changing. His marriage started breaking down, and then one day his wife essentially kicked him out of the house. He got banned from going onto the second floor of his own home because, well, that was where Jody was, the business partner. And if he left, he could leave the house at any time he wanted. But he had to be invited back by his wife before he was allowed to come back. You're giving me a look. Yeah, I know.
Yep. Just get and then every sentence.
Yeah, and then eventually he was just told, don't come back. If you want to save our marriage, just don't come back. And it's like, at that point, the marriage is beyond savable, I would say. Like, you just told me to fuck off completely.
Yeah.
So, what? and she said that if there was any way for them to sort of have a decent marriage, that he shouldn't want contact with the kids. So it was like 13 months between contact with his youngest kids, which I still don't agree with, and I still think he should be held somewhat accountable for that. But she took the two youngest kids to live at Jody's house. She took them out of school, took them out of any programs, and then the diary came forward. It really does break my heart to talk about. they even managed, one of the neighbours that had been trying to get in contact with, like, CPS and the police and that, trying to let them know that something was wrong, they'd managed to get video footage. They were taking the kids down to the local cemeteries.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is Utah, and it was in the middle of the desert area. And they were taking them down to the cemeteries, and they were making them walk through the cemeteries in the middle of the day, so like 40-degree heat, with bare feet, and they would have to clean up, like, do a litter parade through the, like, an emu parade.
Right, yeah.
And clean up. There's glass, rocks.
Sure.
You know, it's a cemetery, so...
Cigarettes.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah. And they would have to do it on bare feet in the blazing hot sun. No, thank you. Then they'd go back and they'd have, like, cuts and everything on their feet. And they wouldn't care about it. She had... They actually put... You know those little exercise trampolines? One of those was put in as evidence because there's such a massive calcium stain on it because they made him spend hours a day in the sun jumping on it as a form of punishment. Like, he wasn't allowed to stop. It wasn't a fun activity. Like, you normally have those and you see mum playing with it.
Play
with it. No, this was in the burning hot sun. It's a black trampoline mat in the burning hot Utah sun. And he would have to jump on it for hours at a time.
What?
And he was jumping on it for hours at a time in the sun for so long that there is actually a stain from his sweat calcifying.
Whoa.
It's the shit they've put them through is horrendous. The little girl that was in the closet that they found, the police officers originally thought that she was a male because she was so thin and had a buzz cut. Well, in Ruby's little diary, she mentions that basically any time her daughter got a little bit defiant with her or did something that she didn't like, she'd shave all her hair off. Because no more hiding behind your long hair, little girl.
Holy hell.
It's like, how are you a mother?
Mm.
What are you doing?
Mm.
And it was all that sort of behaviour. Apparently, this time was actually Russell's second attempt at escape. They found him the first time. They'd been making him sleep outside in the cold. And I mean, the thing with deserts is that they're really hot during the day and they're really bloody cold at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd made him sleep outside with nothing. No pillow, no blanket, no... jacket, nothing, just go sleep on the patio.
Oh my gosh.
So he'd gotten away from the house and he was wandering, trying to find someone, and they've woken up and frantically gone looking for him, and they found him at 2 o'clock. And of course that didn't go very well because then he started getting shackled.
Right.
So he ended up, there was two sets of handcuffs that were used. There was gaffer tape that was used. He was found with the tape still on him when he finally did get away and get to the neighbour. He'd managed to slip out. He hadn't seen his sister in a month.
Mm.
They were in the same home.
Mm.
He hadn't seen her in a month. They'd kept them that separated. They used to have to do this thing called box running, where they'd give them boxes that were loaded with heavy stuff and they'd have to run them up and down the stairs until they were told to stop.
What?
They were just straight up torturing these kids.
Yeah.
No food, no water. They were constantly being told that if they drank out of the hoses or in the shower or out of the sink tap, that they were stealing water.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's
horrendous.
The whole thing's horrendous. I won't go into very many details. Like I said, if you are interested, I'll link to a few like YouTube videos and that below so that you can get a bit more on your own. But yeah, that's the update at this stage. Some of the older kids have come out and started talking about it. They have released a notification that the kids have not, as far as I'm aware, gone back to their family yet. They are still in foster care.
Uh-huh.
And that they are getting all of the medical care that they require. But Jody, so here's the difference between the two ladies. When they got to the prison, it was said that Ruby was very reliant on Jody, almost like a little kid, like a little bit...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
codependent.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they were saying that, pardon me. They were saying that Ruby was constantly like, where's Jody? How's Jody? What's Jody doing? And she was spouting off all of this stuff that, like, the devil has possessed my kids and I'm trying to get these demons out of my kids and we're doing this so that it scares the demons out of my kids, and, like, completely sounding like a crackpot because, you know, that's what crackpots say. And torturing, that all of this torture was required so that we could save my kids and we were going to get this big block of land down in Arizona so that the kids wouldn't be able to escape so that we could get rid of the demons properly.
Wow.
Yeah. Jodie was going to sell her house and we were going to get this big block of land. I was going to sell all of my stuff and, you know, everything that we're doing for connections, and we're going to, like, make this. And I was like, okay, so you were going to kill the kids. It wasn't until her lawyer apparently told her that she's the only one talking like that, that Jodie is like, no, I've never heard, like talking like a normal person, like, no, there's no demons or anything. I've never touched those kids. That Ruby went, what? What do you mean she's not talking like that? She's the one who told me they're possessed.
Mm-hmm.
So it got, she then flipped on Jodie.
Yeah.
And everything was a little bit, you know, oh no, she's the one who did this, she's the one who did that. You know, this is what she said to me.
Yeah.
And looking at her history, I would believe that. But I also think that Ruby was still predisposed to behaving that way.
Yeah.
Because they were already warning signs before she met her.
Yeah.
There were already things that I would be like, are you kidding me? You took an hour to get ready when your daughter was so sick that even your husband said, we need to get her to a hospital now. You took an hour to get ready when your daughter was so ill she needed a hospital.
Mm.
Like, that is not a get ready thing. That is a get in the car, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, the kids, when they first saw them, the first responders were in tears. Mm. And it takes a lot to shake first responders.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there were a couple of first responders that were in tears. And they didn't manage to lure the little girl out of the cupboard until after they'd given her something to eat. And I reckon that that's because when she finished the first thing, they said, do you like pizza? And she was like, yeah. They're like, okay, well, you must be hungry. Like, your brother was starving when we saw him, so you must be hungry too. Went and got her a little pizza. She ate the whole thing. They said, are you still hungry? They got her another one, and she ate half of a large pizza on top of the one she'd already had.
Mm.
And they were like, oh. And I think because not only did they give her food, but they didn't ask for anything to do for that food.
Yeah.
And then they didn't take it off her. That earned them just enough trust for her to leave the closet with them. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to force her out.
Yeah.
They wanted her to trust them. So.
Yeah.
That's the update so far. And Kevin, the father, Ruby's husband, has now filed for divorce. And the jail calls from that are wild because he was like, I believe you. I'm behind you 100%. We'll be, you know, we'll be helping you through all of this. And then it's like, whoa, what did you do to my kids?
Yeah.
Hell no. They've now divorced.
Like, yeah.
Or he's filed for divorce. He's also filed a restraining order against the sale of assets against Jodie because Jodie's trying to sell the big house that they were in.
Oh.
It's worth like a couple of million, I think. And he said she shouldn't be allowed to use that to pay for her legal fees. She should, if she's going to sell that, then that money should go towards what she's done to my kids and helping them recuperate. Like,
yeah.
Getting them the medical care. Because it wasn't just the two youngest kids she had an impact on. Like, they met because she was recommended to them, I believe, by the church because they're Mormons. They attended a Mormon church. They're Mormons. Mm-hmm. I believe Jodie was recommended to them by the church, by the ministers, as a therapist for their eldest son.
Right.
So she's had a hand in all of the kids' lives. Mm. Mind you, they had six kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she's had a hand in all of those kids. The two teenage daughters that hadn't left the home yet were with Pam Botchner, who was one of the other members of Connections, and there's weird shit going on there, but she's not been investigated. A lot of people want her to be investigated.
Mm.
But she's not been yet. But yeah, so she's had a hand in every kid's life, basically.
Ugh.
Yep. Horrible. Horrible stuff. But they've been given 4 to 30 years, depending on parole, and there is already chatter on social media about making sure that someone's watching when their parole would come up and making sure there's enough pressure applied, at least at the first instance, that they're not released, so that there's enough time for those kids to become 18, the two youngest that were the heaviest in, like, had the most abuse.
Yeah.
The most, had the heaviest hand against them. And so that they're 18 and able to absolutely say categorically yes or no if they want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Nobody can be like, well, you're just a kid.
Yeah.
No, I'm 18. I'm an adult. I'll do what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the update there. I'll make sure there's some details down below so you can have a bit more of a comprehensive look at it if you want to. But I would advise caution.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Yeah, heavy stuff.
Yeah. Not pleasant at all.
Completely flip topic.
Is it? Because it's still one that makes us angry.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Woolworths and Coles. There are supermarkets for those listening abroad. I know there's various different other names for chains, but they're the biggest and have the most monopoly over our grocery selling market to Australians. One's Coles, who's Australian-owned, and Woolworths is obviously not Australian-owned whatsoever. And there's been investigations. Now, I think 15 investigations across...
15 investigations in 30 years was the statistic given to us this morning.
Yeah.
So that's once every 2 years. It's horrendous.
So it's like a trend. We just give it 2 years ago.
I think it's a little bit more than a trend at that point.
Ooh,
it's a pattern of behaviour.
Yeah, it is.
But I think in this inquiry, it's been more watched than previous ones. Like, people have been cranky about things that have happened in the past. Like, no one's ever been really happy with them. But I think in this particular one, more people have been watching it because of how blatant it was, like the price gouging and that.
Yeah.
It was so blatant during the COVID and... Sorry, hang on. Okay, good to go.
Okay, she's comfortable, everyone. Gentle listeners, she's sorry comfortable.
The inquiry is to run for 1 year from the 29th of February 2024. Is the time frame that's been given on the ACCC website, 2024 to 2025. So, the inquiry will examine pricing practices of the supermarkets and the relationships between wholesale, including farm gate, and retail prices. The formal direction from the Australian government was received on the 1st of February 2024, including the terms of reference. So, and that's mostly to deal with the very, again, blatant price gouging during the COVID pandemic.
I like to say DC during COVID. DC.
So A, D, B, C, DC. What is it now? AC again?
Yeah.
Maybe it's ACP. Because we've already had an AC.
True. Okay. Yeah. ACP. Everyone loves a good acronym. I know I do.
I never would have noticed.
Yes, price gouging. So we've got the CEO of Woolworths being a right
tosser.
Prat.
He's a tosser.
Yeah, a right prat. Pratting about. Thinking that, no, I'm good. I'm not going to tell you a lot anything.
Yeah, but, we already knew he was a bit of a toss-up when he did that interview. And his PR, like, I can just imagine the looks on their faces when he said all of that. And they're like, shut up. Oh, my God, just stop talking.
Just shut your pie hole. Yeah.
You could just see, you could almost see the look in his eye was the cogs turning and going, oh shit, I shouldn't have said that.
But it's out there now.
It's out there now. But I've got to say, my favourite part of the inquiry so far, because it was televised, is televised the right word?
Recorded?
It was recorded for public
review.
Yeah. And it's been showing up all over social media. It's been on my TikTok. It's been on my Instagram. It's been on my YouTube.
It's everywhere.
It is. But some of the moments have been just chef's kiss. But I absolutely enjoyed the moment when he got threatened with 6 months of jail for being in contempt.
Genuinely shocked. Not
answer a yes or no question.
His face was like, how dare you?
It really was, wasn't it?
I'm the CEO of Woolworths.
I'm the CEO of Woolworths. And he's like, yeah. I just have to warn you that if you do not answer this question, you could be held in contempt of this court. And if you are held in contempt, that carries a 6-month sentence. And his face was just, excuse you?
I will
not.
And I was
like, yeah, that's right. Go to jail.
But it's interesting to see that what happened with the Woolworths thing. And it's like Coles went, we're not going to do anything like that.
Yes,
we're not going to do anything. We're going completely the opposite. We're going to come in prepared. We're going to have all our research, our data.
But see, I don't believe he didn't go in prepared. I just think that he went in not... I think he knew the answers to the questions. I think he was fully prepared for those answers. I just don't think he wanted to answer them because he was highly aware of the fact that, A, this is being filmed for public review.
Yeah.
And B... everything I say is going to get us into trouble.
Yeah.
So the less I say, the better. And I just feel like he thought that if he could just be like, oh, we'll take that on review, we'll take that on review, we'll take that on review.
Yeah.
So that he could, when they do that, they don't actually get asked those questions again. They just submit the answers quietly later.
Yeah.
And I think that was his game plan, was he'll just take it all under review.
Yeah.
And submit the answers quietly later.
Mm-hmm.
And grease a few palms along the way. And I gotta say, I really did enjoy the fact that they were like, there is no taking this under review. Answer the fucking question.
Yeah.
It's a yes or no question. Do you know this? Yes or no? And
yeah.
It's like, the findings are in the thing, I'll take it on review. He's like, this is not a question you can take under review. Do you want to go to jail?
I think the answer to that was yes at that moment in time. I do want to go to jail. I don't want to answer these questions.
I don't want to answer these questions. And I think Coles looked at I think my personal opinion is that they saw what he was doing and they're like, well, we were going to do that, but clearly that is not the way we're doing it now.
We couldn't possibly go forward.
She was much more forthcoming with her answers. She was still vague. But she was much more forthcoming.
Yeah, and answered. Wasn't being weird about it.
Yeah, so when he said, would you round it up to this? She's like, no, I think it's below that, but, you know, relatively close.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, that is a vague answer, but still an answer.
Yeah. I like when two questions that he got was, do you know whether you're under 25% profit margin for the year?
Was that one of the ones he refused to answer?
Yeah, and he goes,
I know he
no.
really didn't want to answer his
salary. That was my second question, my second favorite question. But when they were like, so it's, you've got to come in under 25% of profit for the year. And he's like, and it's just like, answer the question. And he's like, we're over by a little bit or something to that effect. It's not the correct terminology, but in any way, but that's kind of what he answered. Like, we're over by a little bit. No, it's a huge fucking bit, you absolute shithead.
And his return on equity. He refused to give them the return on equity as well.
Yes.
Coles was like, oh yeah, it's this much, it's this percent. And I'm like, okay. And then I was watching this thing, I can't remember where I saw it, but there was this thing that was talking about the return on equity and that Coles and Woolworths both had a better return on equity, a bigger return on equity than the wealthiest bank in the world.
Yeah.
This last couple of years.
Yes.
And I'm just like, excuse you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How?
And what, we're paying, what, $7 for a bottle of milk now?
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that really shat me off about both of the CEOs was when they were doing the whole talk about, oh, you really just, like, removed all competition in the market. Like, you are a duopoly at this point, essentially.
Yeah.
That is what you are.
Yeah.
Because people can either go to Coles or Woolies. It's rare to be able to find an IGA or a Drake's. Aldi isn't really a market presence. Like, everyone knows it's there, and it is coming up to be in line with them, but it's not there yet.
It's not there. No. Agreed.
It's just not there yet. And then they're sitting there going, no, it's a very competitive marketplace. I'm like, when you're only competing against one person, I'm sure it is. But that's not how this works for the rest of us.
I love a good IGA. I love a good one.
I do. And the one that I used to live near was a very good one. My only problem was, again, the prices.
Prices, yeah.
Because it was not a cheap place, but it was convenient.
Yeah.
And, like, I wasn't going to do my big grocery shop there.
No.
But if I was like, oh, shit, I forgot this for this recipe and I really don't want to go all the way down to the big shopping centre to get this, slipping down to my local IGA at the end of the road, sweet.
Yeah.
IGA's, Friendly Grocers, Drake's Supermarkets, is it?
Drake's, yes. Yep. Yep.
Any of those sort of little shops.
Like co-ops.
Yeah. Totally happy for them to have a bigger market share.
Sure.
Absolutely. Because then there's at least three more players in the market, which means that there's at least six supermarkets that would be competing, which means that, yeah, they're actually going to have to start bringing prices down.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I found really interesting about this was the play between suppliers and Coles and Woolies. They've not upped the pricing with suppliers, like what they pay to suppliers.
No.
For what, 16 years?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yeah. It's an excessive amount of time.
It's an excessive amount of time.
Yeah, that's
past. But then they tell us that the price has to go up because the price to the supplier is going up.
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't paid them more in 16 years, how much back pay do you owe them? And if you don't owe them back pay, then why the fuck is my price gone up?
Yeah. And if they speak out, the farmers or the producers or the suppliers,
they lose their contracts.
Then they don't.
It doesn't get on the
shelf. So they're blacklisted and they have to try and find somewhere else to sell their crop and or product, which no one needs that. We need farmers. We need good produce.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people have returned to buying like those direct farm to table boxes.
Yeah.
Have been a big thing that's been coming up, and a lot of those are taking off really well.
Yeah.
I don't know about down south, but definitely in Queensland they've taken off a lot.
And farmers markets.
Yeah, farmers markets. They're a massive part of everyone's life again.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are really enjoying that. The Rockley markets.
Yeah.
You know, over at the Rockley, the big produce markets that, like, you can go to and buy wholesale, they have now started opening pretty much every Saturday.
How good!
And not only do they have parking, the flower market, and the greengrocers, but they've actually expanded.
Oh.
So now there's delicatessens, there's butchers, there's all sorts of extra stuff. You can even have breakfast there.
How good.
It's so nice. And it's massive.
Yeah.
And I used to go over there because, like, it was part of work and it was open early enough that I could actually go get something to eat and drink before I went to work, because I work stupid 1 o'clock in the morning at that point.
Coffee.
But it was always crowded, but it was normally like tradies or drivers or, you know, the night shift workers, and they knew about it and they'd go in and they'd buy stuff, and then it'd be like, it's nice and early in the morning, I can get my shit, I can go home, I don't have to worry about it again.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I do my groceries, is like, if I do this on a Friday at this time, it's done, I don't have to worry about it over the weekend.
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting to actually see it be more of a family market hub.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. It's like a version of a market without it being a supermarket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. Like, it's not an everyday thing. It is only like a weekend thing. I think it's on every Saturday. Let me check that. I'll put it in the show notes if it is. But I believe that it's every Saturday now. Whereas a while ago, it was like once a month that they opened to the public.
They're
opening to the public like once a week.
I wonder
when
the demand
has gotten so high.
The demand will become to the point where they're open 7 days.
I think if they wanted to do that, they could, but I think they'd have to section off because it is still a working wholesale market.
True.
And so the trucks go in between 2 and 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
The market opens to the wholesalers about 5, and the wholesalers go in and buy their produce for the day, get it shipped off to the dock to go into their trucks to go out to the stores.
Yeah.
So, like, the farmers, I'm saying this one in quotations here because it's not what you would think of as a traditional farmer.
Yeah.
But it's essentially the greengrocer down the road here. He gets his deliveries from the markets every morning. So what goes on the shelf there is fresh from the market. So it's only a day or two off the farm for the most part. He's obviously got the usual, like, stuff grown in China, prepackaged preservatives.
Yeah.
The produce is generally fresh.
Yeah.
Which we quite like. Yes. We had avocados yesterday for 68 cents.
Hey.
They're still $3 in Coles.
I don't like avocado, but I'm sure, I know you do, and 68 cents is a bloody bargain.
Especially at this time of year.
Well, see, every time I come and record podcasts, episodes with my co-host Tasha, every Saturday morning I go to a farmer's market. And that's my shop.
Yep.
Or my shop. Yep. I don't need to, unless I need something that's quite, you know, I guess it's non-produce, like cling wrap, bin liners, stuff like that, I'd go. But I can go to the cheap shop now for that stuff too.
Yeah, I've done the cheap shop for a long time. You can get a lot of cleaning products there too.
Yeah.
We do most of our cleaning products from Costco now.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yeah, you can, because you can buy it in bulk. And I think we worked it out, like, you can buy one or two at Coles for the same price as the entire box at Costco. So
wow.
Why would I not just go buy the box?
Yeah.
And then, and the other thing that I found was actually Amazon, as much as I don't like, you know, spending in on corporations, because that's what we're arguing against.
Yes, yes.
I use a lot of Nivea body care, because that's what
I She's like. Rubbing her arms at the moment, like she's putting Nivea cream on at the moment.
Amazon had a massive Nivea sale.
Yeah.
And I got my body wash, my lotion, hand moisturizer, my lip care, like there was a whole bunch of stuff. It was literally a box full of stuff.
Yeah.
For the same price as two items down at Coles.
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, I'd be stupid not to do this one because...
Yeah.
So I did, and I don't regret it because, you know, it saved me a lot of money. But I really do think was it Bob Catter, who's not... one that I normally agree with. He has introduced a bill to Parliament this morning, I think it was. Can't be this morning.
Federal Parliament.
Yeah,
federal member.
He's introduced a bill in the last week, I believe, on basically forcing competition.
Yeah.
On breaking down the duopoly that Coles and Woolies have.
And they have. They've had it too good for too long. Where you go, oh, okay.
They bought Bi-Lo out because Bi-Lo was its own thing. Because you had Bi-Lo, Coles and Woolies, and Woolworths bought Bi-Lo out.
Yeah.
So Bi-Lo disappeared.
Yep.
So now you've still only got two of them.
Yeah.
Drake's was up and coming.
Yeah. Like
they were on the same level as Bi-Lo, and if the two of them had continued, there would have been four major supermarkets.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they forced Drake's out. They just, I think that just IGA...
muscle.
I think IGA must have gone back to the small supermarket franchise way of doing things.
Mm.
And Bi-Lo got bought out, so there was only the two of them again.
Yeah.
And then Aldi came into the market, but they're not...
It's different with them, because they don't really... They've still not got all the things.
Yeah.
That you'd normally... I'm going to sneeze. Paused. Sorry. No, I'm not going to sneeze now. It passed.
Okay.
If there's an all of a sudden, a sneeze, then apologies.
There's a sudden cut. I just don't cut it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. They've had it too good for too long. And for a good while, these are the prices. You just have to sort of deal with it. And, like, we know interest rates are going up and we know cost of living's going up and we know, you know, all this stuff is happening. But what can we possibly do about it? Nothing. That was pretty much what Woolworths and Coles have done.
Yeah, didn't she try and say that, like, they have to keep as big a profit margin as they do because transport in Australia is so long?
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Look, lady.
You have a dedicated transport network. You literally have a dedicated transport network.
Yeah.
And you undercharge on that shit too. It frustrates me so much because I've worked at one of the companies that was one of their transport suppliers. The company no longer exists, so I'm not worried about saying anything that I shouldn't be saying.
Sure, because
the company doesn't exist anymore, so good fucking luck finding me.
She's got a cranky face on.
I just...
Tasha's got her cranky face on. I'm ready.
We did transport, and we only had a very limited share because we didn't. The transport I was working for at the time didn't have a refrigerated vehicle, so we didn't touch their produce. We didn't trust. Didn't touch their meat.
Mm-hmm.
We did the alcohol distribution out to.
Yep.
And dry packaged. So the stuff that is on the, you know, the chip aisle or, you know, laundry detergent, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
When we actually ran the figures, after the boss had agreed to what they wanted as their sales, like, this is what we will pay you to do all of these runs, and we, wow, and we actually ran their figures, we were losing money on every run.
What?
Yep.
Every run.
Every run. We were losing money.
But, yeah.
See, but that means that you've got to drive the price up elsewhere because you can't drive it up with them because they won't pay it anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got to drive the price up on the other customers to cover the shortfall on what you're doing for the big guy that could afford to pay for it but fucking won't. And it drives me insane because the, one of the things that came out in this inquiry was how they run their specials. And I'm freaking heck.
Yeah.
I hate. If I'd known that, I don't know if I would have bought it.
Yeah.
Because that's just... What do you mean you just charge that difference back to the supplier?
Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah. And that's why everyone would be like, oh, it's Wednesday, special day, you know, whatever, whichever one. And I go, no, I just ignore it. I'm not bending to that. Like, you know, for example, block of chocolate, Whittaker's. Pokey Pokey, favourite.
I like the jelly top.
Yes. So, what, $6.50, $7, coming up to $7?
It's coming up to $7.
Right? But, like, then there'd be the special. It might be $3.50 for that block.
Yep.
That's damn good chocolate.
Yep.
But I'm not fooled by your weird little specials. I'm not fooled by it. So I'd rather just wait and pay the full price, knowing that...
Or you could do what that lady on TikTok does, Scanning Practices Australia.
Oh, yeah.
She goes around and she looks for where they're failing, and then she runs through. She does the whole shop. This is what gets me. She does the whole shop. She keeps record of what's wrong. She buys it, and then she goes over to the customer service counter, and she shows them where it's all wrong. And because of the Scanning Practices Australia code, they have to give her it for free. So anything she scanned that is wrong...
Oh,
has to be given to her for free.
Wow.
So she then gets a refund and she'll just buy things that are all that she knows are wrong.
Right.
So she gets a trolley full of free stuff.
I don't know how much time I've got to be doing that. I don't know.
I don't either. There's a lot of comments on there that are basically along that line, but part of her job is making sure that they're actually doing that, they're complying with the Scanning Practices Australia. So hey, if she gets her own groceries done in the meantime, what do I care?
Yeah, well, yeah, if it's part of your job, it makes a bit more of a difference, I guess. But yeah, but yeah, they know what the cost of living and the pressures are, but yet they're not doing anything.
No, and didn't they find out that Woolworths had nicked off with, like, what was it, $1.7 million of long service leave?
Yep.
Coles from their Victorian workers?
Wasn't paying, hadn't paid the right...
Base wage,
and then they also had held back on paying properly annual leave as well. So people were getting it like half
what they should have.
So there's so many wage theft cases going on. As well, long service leave, like you mentioned, and paying the right award just in generally. So if you're like a newbie, you know, fresh out of school or still in school, and you don't know about this stuff, you're just grateful to be getting a wage. You're not looking at...
But it's interesting how they're able to do that anyway, because if you're straight out of school and it's your first job, you're on base level anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of them don't realise that after your first year, that's supposed to go up.
Yeah.
And then after that year, it's supposed to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't know. And they don't check it.
I think it's that whole thing of, well, I've got a part-time job.
Yeah, I've got something coming in. I'm doing better than my mate who's been looking for a job for the last 8 months.
And it's better than pocket money.
Yep.
If pocket money still exists. I don't know if that's still a thing.
I think it depends on whether the family can afford it these days.
Yeah, well, that'd probably be the first thing to go. But, yeah, I just... There needs to be something quickly done. but I know it's going to take a while and it'll be this long, drawn-out process.
I just wish that they'd stop the... And I'm talking about the government here, not Coles or Woolies. Like, I wish they'd stop too, but I really wish that they would stop allowing for them to be able to get away with this, because they're only able to get away with these things because nobody is stepping in to change.
Yeah, accountability. Like
when you realise, because you cannot tell me that this is the first year you've realised that they're a duopoly. Like when they bought out Bylo all those years ago, and I mean years, what, 20 years ago?
Oh,
I don't think I've seen a Bylo since it, yeah.
Like 2002, 2001.
Yeah, it was like the last time you saw it. It was very 90s.
Even before that, maybe 2000?
So it was very 90s, but I just... You can't tell me that Fair Trade didn't realise when they were working on that deal that this was going to be a consequence.
Yeah. They're all idiots if that's the case, that they didn't realise that. Because we're not even anyone in that area and we knew that.
Yeah.
We could see the writing on the wall.
I don't know what that was, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry, that was me. My apologies. they're talking about the profitability and the equity. So Woolworths, the difference between figures is for this market equity. Yesterday's Senate inquiry. So when was this written? April 17th. During yesterday's Senate inquiry into supermarket pricing, Greens Senator Nick McKim threatened to hold ongoing Woolworths Chief Executive Brad Banducci.
I think that's how it is, yeah.
In contempt for refusing to directly answer questions about company's profitability. McKim repeatedly asked Banducci for details about the Woolworths return on equity, but the chief executive argued that another profitability metric, return on investment, would be a better measurement to focus on.
Mm.
For Woolworths, the difference between these figures is rather significant. At the Senate hearings, Banducci repeatedly said the company's return on investment was 10%. But analytics from LSEG's estimates puts its return on equity at 26%. Which is a 16% difference. That is a fairly... So, both measures are trying to capture the company's profitability, but of course we could dodge the which ratio is better issue altogether by simply referring to the company's actual reported profit last year. But this then raises another question. With a wide range to choose from, which profit figure should we be looking at? Before or after interest payments? Before or after tax? As these answers change, the profitability of Woolworths varies significantly, ranging from about $5.7 billion before interest and tax to a little more modest $1.6 billion after interest and tax. If we assume we're interested in the company's profitability after interest and tax, we still need to assess whether a profit of $1.6 billion is high, low, or just average for a firm like Woolworths.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Share issued privately or on stock exchange by taking on debt, funds borrowed from banks or other creditors. Blah, 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 blah. Far too much money talking here.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Facing an increasingly hostile Senate inquiry into his company's profitability, it's little surprise Banducci pushed so enthusiastically for adoption of his own preferred method. Mm. Yeah, just keep smacking him around the ears, please. Because, I mean, honestly. And the thing that got me was his wage and how he really just did not want to answer that.
Which I... That's in the annual report anyway.
Yeah, but that's what he kept saying, is it's in the report, Senator, just read the report.
So either which way, and people were going to know.
Yeah, but I think... And this is the thing that I think in regards to that, is that if it's in the report, less people are going to know. Because in his head, he's thinking, if I say it out loud,
yeah,
it's on camera.
Oh, sure.
If it's in the report, someone has to go digging.
And who's less reading people are annual reports besides shareholders of companies and maybe some other vested interested parties?
Yeah.
But the public, I'm not picking up cotton on annual report. I'm not picking up, you know, multiple vendors that I would go and, you know, spend money at to go, oh, I see, that's what your, you know, profit index is. That's what, you know, the CEO makes. That's what you're doing this year, blah, blah, blah. One, it's a very boring document. And two, it's
you need to actually understand the lingo that they're using.
It's not really for the public.
No.
Really.
But I did enjoy him being told that he might need to go for 6 months in jail for contempt.
I did enjoy that too.
He refused to directly answer questions about the profit metric in a fiery Senate hearing that went off the rails on Tuesday. Mr. Benducci declined to confirm if the supermarket giant's return on equity was 26%, twice that of the big banks, but similar to miners. Why doesn't that surprise me either?
Yeah, well.
Saying it's not the best way to measure the profits of supermarkets, the retailers, like the big miners, argue that other metrics, such as return on capital, are a better indicator of how profitable the business is. We focus on return on investment. That is the key number that we should focus on, and that the number that is in our long-term incentives. It is common corporate finance measure. It is the right measure. What return did we get on a dollar put into our business? Senator McKim said the first-year commerce student would calculate Woolworths returns on equity, accusing Woolworths of making off like bandits, and threatened the CEO with contempt and a prison term for not answering questions directly. Mr. Benducci said he would take the question on notice after a lengthy confrontation when he confirmed he didn't know the numbers. Which, I believe it was after he said, I'll take it on notice, quite a few times that they actually did that when I watched the video.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take it on notice. And he's like, no, just tell me whether or not you know the answer.
Yeah. I don't even need to know the answer right now. I already know.
Yeah, essentially he's like, I already know the answer. I just want to know if you know the answer.
Yeah. Tell me what you know. No, that was, and it's infuriating. And I think that's a pretty strong word, but like it's antagonizing the public and infuriating the public more when CEOs act like this, because we all as a collective are not happy with what you're doing. We know what you have been doing, so it's not a secret. This isn't like, you know, breaking news. Like, today, did you know that they're price gouging? Everyone knows.
Yep.
So it's not giant secret.
No.
And then when you start to play weird games.
Like, I remember during the height of it.
Yeah.
Before the Royal Inquiry was even announced. People were pointing out, like, a 5-pack of Schick razor heads was $40 at Woolworths or Coles.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go to the shaver shop and buy it for $8.
Yeah.
That's a $32 difference.
Yeah.
So if shaver shop can do it for $8, why can't you?
Yeah.
But you can't tell me you don't have enough of them.
That's the thing. So I think then, as if people aren't already riled up and infuriated with a lot of things, all the previous stuff we've mentioned, cost of living, petrol prices, the war affecting the petrol prices, like so much going on with all pricing, with anything. Even, not that I ate there, I went there with a friend to McDonald's, and the cheapest meal was like $15.
Mm. Yeah, Macca's has forgotten its place on the totem pole of fast food. And that is the place that you used to go when you didn't have a lot of money and nothing left.
Yeah. And so you just go, a couple of bucks.
Here's my $5.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a burger and fries. And then at least I won't go to bed completely starving.
Yeah. But now, you're creeping up to like a $20 meal.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can't tell me that this is a giant shock. But when
they used to have the dollar menu?
Yeah.
Do they still have that?
I don't eat there. I went with a friend. She's starving. Okay. I didn't get anything. But anyway.
Google.
So I think it just adds to the angst that's in our society at the moment when CEOs and big corporations act like this. Because no one needs that. No one needs you to be showponing yourself around going, look at us. We're the best. We made more than the banks. Yeah, okay. Well, we hate the banks too.
Well, he didn't really want to admit that though, did he?
No.
And I think that's part of the reason why he didn't want to admit it, is that he was making more than the banks. And the moment he came out and said that, people would be like, did you just say that you made more than a bank?
Yeah, it's a bank. Yeah.
All they deal in is money. Why are you making that much?
Yeah, exactly. So no one needs to hear this and be sort of...
Nobody that is hearing this is in any way surprised.
No, but it doesn't make it less infuriating.
No. If anything, all it's done is reconfirm in people's heads that they are all assholes.
Yeah.
And that we're not going to be helping them with anything. When they do that whole, you know, Coles used to do the Curtis 10 for 10, $10, yeah. Like a whole meal for your whole family, for your family,
Curtis
for less than $10.
Yeah.
And now it's, here's a meal for two people for $20. So now it's $10 a person.
Oh, wow. Yep. Okay. And probably side note to that too, draw cash out and use it. Cash is still king, and, you know, they keep saying it's not going anywhere, but cash is king. If you think about it, say the most happiest, you know, department on the planet if we went cashless would be the ATO. They would be living their best lives because they could track every single thing that you buy, service that you use, where you go, how often you go. I don't think anyone wants that kind of surveillance on themselves.
No. And the more that you use, like, your Flybuys card or your Woolworths Rewards card, the more they track what you're spending your stuff on, and the more they target your ads specifically to you on certain things.
And then it can sort of become this... it's a whole thing, and it probably needs another episode. But what I'm saying is cash... Please still draw it out. I use it a lot. And I still now, to this day, get funny looks, you know, when I'm paying with cash. Oh, you got cash. Oh. I'm like, yeah. Because it's still a, you know, legal tender. It's not gone away. And that sometimes you get discount with tradies. Cash is king, you know.
Oh, yeah, they love it. I see a masseuse for my back, and I see, I'm very particular about who I see on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And he prefers to be paid in cash, and he gives me a little bit of a discount because it's cash.
Yeah.
It's not as easily tracked.
Yeah.
So.
It's just really important. We don't want to see a society where it's just gone to card, because... There's that surcharge thing too happening, where your every transaction has got a little bit of surcharge on it as well for using cards.
Yep.
Cash, you don't have that. Cash is cash. That's the amount that you're spending.
And as many, and the more that we allow them to shove us onto our cards, the less likely, like, they're already pushing. Like, I saw a thing the other day that I think it's Hayman or Hamilton Island is going completely cash free.
Yes.
So you can't stay there unless, like, you can't buy anything from the from the restaurant, from the bar, from the vendors outside. You can't get anything unless you put it on your card.
And I
didn't think that that would be legal, because I thought that if you were selling stuff, you had a legal, you were legally obliged to accept legal tender.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought too. So, and the flip side of that is, as well, even with the markets, cash is better.
Yeah.
It just is. Like, a lot of the time, they either don't have farmers and that don't have Square or, like, FPOS, because it's an added extra cost. And if you're coming straight from the farm to your market...
Yeah, you're being charged every time you swipe that card, but the farmer or the stall holder is being charged for having that device.
Yeah, so cash, please. Like, I'm pleading with anyone that's listening, still use cash as much as possible.
Honestly suggest seeing if there is a market, a greengrocer, a small mum and pop shop, maybe even there's a farm to table service in your area that would deliver boxed groceries to you. I know a lot of people, I'm one of them, I like to be able to select my own groceries.
Yes, me too.
But, you know, it...
But even if you just think, oh, I need a quick something for dinner or lunch IGA. Or whatever. IGA, like there's, yeah, Drake's, IGA. But there's also think about your local butcher as well.
Yep.
The supermarket's not the only place you can get meat.
No. And I mean, we've still got Mega Meats. Super Butcher, I think, is still somewhere.
And your classic independent butcher, like Savills as well.
Savills, yep.
Yeah. So there's... And wherever you are in the world, I'm sure there's butchers.
Like sometimes they're not located in the most convenient of spaces, but if they're a good quality butcher and a good quality produce provider, I think it's worth being a little bit inconvenienced on the trip to do it, especially if it's going to save you money long term.
Agreed.
Like my grocery bill when I stopped shopping at Coles and Woolies went from being like $150, $200 a week down to... $60 to $80 a week.
Yeah.
Depending on what I need to top up on.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's just let's not sort of bow down to all the pressures of what sort of feels like.
The more we allow them to corral us into the pen they want us to be in, the worse it's gonna get.
Yeah. So let's not and say we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all we've got time for today. That is all. We're sufficiently frustrated as Australians what's going on.
Yes.
And I hope you enjoyed the clips of the CEO of Woolworths being told to maybe contemplate things for 6 months in jail.
Yes.
He has stepped down, I believe.
He was apparently going to retire anyway.
Was he?
I love that card gets pulled out.
Yeah.
When things don't look...
Retirement, is he?
You're on that money, though. You're on that money.
Yeah, $8 million a year. Jesus.
You'll be right.
But anyway, on that note, we will talk to you all next time and let us know what you're going to be doing on the 15th of May instead of going to Coles and Woolies.
Yeah, because don't.
Don't. Please.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do this properly.
Cash and boycott them on the 15th. Other than that, bye guys.
Bye.
It's hard, it's not impossible. Tell them there's no limit, I'm unstoppable. Stop myself and guilt, then it's possible. Nobody else will play the fool. Maybe I was born just to break the rules. Stop the water for the money and fill up my pool. Not my morals or my dignity, we keep it cool. Just to work for the system, use you like a tool. How efficient do we use ourselves? That's like the story you're telling someone else's tells. All that chit chat will make you feel. Chat worry less and really worry about yourself. I learned the hard way with damaged health. Listen to that voice within, gotta know yourself. Don't worry about a thing, everything is going well. Let enter my inner child, I've gotta tell you something else. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel. All that pain in your brain will make you feel sane.
And you